Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I changed my text. I know. Didn't like that one, did you? Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to look at verse 4. And it is Father's Day. I want to speak to fathers today. Don't be alarmed if you're not a father. Sometimes I wish I could just get the fathers together and just speak to them, but you're here, you get to hear it. Here's what I would like you to do if you're not a father. Pray for the fathers around you. Maybe your father is still with us. Maybe you have a son who's a father. You're now a grandfather. Maybe it's a friend of yours who's a father. Maybe it's your husband. Pray for us fathers. Being a parent is not easy. Being a mother is not easy. Being a father is not easy. And we need your prayers. So as I preach today, and I'm going to just drill in on fathers, just don't worry. Pray for those fathers in the room, the fathers here in your life. Ephesians 6, verse 4 says this, "And, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." We're going to focus on that second half of that verse, the positive command there, that fathers are to bring their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Father, we're grateful that you, again, are our Heavenly Father, and you give us the perfect example of fatherhood. It's difficult for us to be fathers, to be fathers that bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's difficult for us to be men, men who stand for righteousness when there is so much a wickedness, an evil, and a pull to the flesh in our society. But we know that you are in charge, that you are sovereign, and that you grant to each of us all the precious promises and all the grace that we need to live godly in Christ Jesus. So we ask for your help today to understand what your scripture teaches us and to live it out. And I pray particularly for fathers to live out this verse, to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How many of you fathers have ever been asked to take care of daughters? Okay, good. So you'll understand this. I have three wonderful daughters, and I grew up without any sisters. So I thought my mother was very strange growing up. And then I realized she's very normal. It's just I had two brothers. And, of course, my dad, very masculine. You know, I just didn't have any of the estrogen that other people grew up with. So I can remember one of the first times my wife said, "Okay, you're going to take care of the children." It was our firstborn is a girl. And my wife was part of the choir. And so she would go to church early on Sunday mornings, so that she could practice with the choir before the event started. And she left me to dress my daughter. Yeah, some of you know where this is going. Well, I mean, I'm a man, right? So she'd leave me with this dress, and I just figured the buttons were on the front. And then I'd take my daughter to the nursery, and of course they would look at this dress and say, "Who dressed this girl?" And I'd come back and pick up my daughter after the service, and her dress was on backwards. Well, this happened several times, and finally my wife said, "Sweetheart, you don't understand. These buttons go on the back." A couple weeks later, she left me with a dress of buttons, and I put it, buttons on the back. Those buttons don't go on the back. Took it into the nursery. Who dressed this girl? Here's my point. Fathers need a lot of help. And not just in dressing their children. Sometimes as dads, we're fix-it people. When things are broken, we like to fix it. And we like our children to be that way. You know, they're broken, I'm going to make this right. And that's not always the best way to handle our children. It's a process. It takes years. I'm glad that God gives us 18 years, sometimes more, to work on our children. Because we need that. I want to talk about four things in particular that fathers need if we're going to be successful fathers and raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And again, If you're not a father today, I am speaking directly to fathers. Some of these things are things you need to, but I'm applying it to fathers in particular, and you can pray for us. I want to start by using this illustration of the Transamerica Pyramid. Some of you have seen it, or most of you probably seen it in person. I want to ask you, do you remember where you were when an earthquake hit San Francisco in 1989? Now, some of you are probably thinking, I was even born in 1989. Okay. Now, you don't remember where you were. But I do remember. We were sitting in Oregon, my dad and me and my two brothers, and we were watching the television screen. Because if you remember, it was just about to kick off the Oakland A's versus the San Francisco Giants in the World Series. Game 3. And all of a sudden, things on TV began to shake. And they said, we're going to be right back. And the signal went out, and they didn't come back. Some of you probably lived in the Bay Area at that time. You remember the viaduct there, the 880 collapsed. Part of the Bay Bridge collapsed. They say that the Transamerica Pyramid swayed, moved laterally for over 1 minute. And there was no damage to the building at all. Because it had been built specifically for large earthquakes. One thing they did was they put in a foundation that I understand is almost 50 feet deep and has over 300 miles of rebar in it. So that it was a firm foundation that wasn't going to go anywhere. And then they built the building intentionally to move back and forth because that's what will happen in an earthquake when you have a building that tall. There is a coming cultural earthquake. I think we're already feeling the tremors, the attacks on the family that say, you know, fathers are replaceable. You could have two mothers. Or mothers are replaceable. You could have two fathers. Or, hey, who needs two parents at all? Well, just any parent will do. There's a coming cultural earthquake from the results of that type of thinking. This idea that we can just live for ourselves. We can do what makes me happy. Someone reminded us yesterday at the men's breakfast as we were discussing a similar topic. We're told, just follow your heart. That is a really bad idea. But there's a coming cultural earthquake from people who have lived that way all of their life. And we've already felt the tremors. So I want to talk today, fathers, about what we can do as fathers and as husbands to prepare our families for this cultural earthquake so that when it comes, our families aren't toppled. Just like the Transamerica Pyramid took that earthquake and stood, no damage, God wants our families to stand even in the midst of cultural earthquakes. Now remember, I said the first thing that this Transamerica Pyramid had that helped it withstand the earthquake was a firm foundation. And your family needs a firm foundation. And 1 Corinthians 3 tells us that the foundation that every one of us needs is Jesus Christ. Amen. He's got to be the center of my life as a father, of my wife's life as a mother. He needs to be the center of my children's lives. And if you have children, you know that they don't always get that. I understand. He needs to be the center of our family life. He needs to be the foundation. Secondly, you need to be prepared for your lives to be shaken. Don't be surprised by trials and tribulations. Jesus said to his disciples, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Amen. Don't be surprised when there is trouble and turmoil around you. Don't be surprised even if that trouble and turmoil sometimes invades your family. Don't get discouraged. God told us we will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now let me give you four things that you need as a father if you're going to help your family be prepared for the cultural tremors and earthquakes that we are going to experience. The first is you need a vision for what God is calling your children to do, for what God wants to do in your children's lives. Now, hopefully you already have a vision for what God's doing in your life. I know that God calls each of us to our vocation, to our jobs. He calls each one of us to the families that He's given us. He calls each one of us to the locations where we live. If you don't recognize that, let me encourage you, first of all, to get a vision for what God is doing in your life. None of your circumstances are random or by chance. They're providential. They're God-designed to put you right where you need to be. But you need to realize that God has given you this child, these children, because He has a vision for what He wants them to do as well. Proverbs 22:6, you heard this verse, train up a child in the way he should go. Notice it says the way he should go. I am convinced by observation and by my study of Scripture that different children need different things. Do you have an extrovert in your family? Somebody who just loves to talk? Every mealtime is dominated by this one child's conversation. That child probably needs to listen. To not dominate the conversation, to just sit there and let other people have their say. Maybe you have an introvert in your family. An introverted child that doesn't want to talk. That's happy to let everyone else talk for them. That's not necessarily good either. That child you're going to have to encourage to speak up. Because God's given them a mind. Given them a heart, things that they want to say and express. You see, here's my point. Not all of our children need to be treated the same way. Sometimes my son or my daughter will come to me and say, hey, when I did that, you responded to it. I say, listen, every child is different. You may not understand why I treat your brother or your sister differently than I'm treating you, but I have a vision for what God wants to do in their lives. How they need to be molded and shaped so that they're the most useful instrument for what God has for them to do. Psalm 127:3 says, children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows in the hands of a mighty man, so are children to you. Think about what that verse is telling us. It's telling us that God has given us our children for a reason. They're a heritage, yes, but they're as arrows in the hands of a mighty man. They're not something He waves around and says, hey, look at my arrows. They're something He uses. They're something, they have a purpose. They have a target. And God's given you your children for a reason. When we were teens, late teens, maybe college age, we wanted to get my dad a Father's Day gift. So we got him one of those, I don't even know what they call it, but I'm going to call it an air wrench. You hook it up to an air compressor. And when you push the button on this drill-like structure, it spins so it can take the lug nuts off of cars. Because if you've ever had to take a lug nut off by hand, it can be tedious. My dad enjoys working on cars. I don't know why, but he enjoys working on cars, and we thought this will make his job easier. And sure enough, every time I needed my brakes checked, drive it over to Dad, says, hey, Dad, you got that thingy that takes the lug nuts off of cars? Let's take a look at my brakes, right? Every time we had anything to do, take a car over my dad's house. Now imagine that my dad gives me that instrument. And I say, this is really beautiful. And I shine it up. I put it in a special case. And I put it in my house. And everyone that comes up, look at this. This is beautiful, isn't it? But I never use it. I've missed the point that my dad had in giving me that instrument. Our children aren't for us to, you know, buff up and say, hey, look at my children. Look how great they are. Our children are to serve God. So what has God called your son or your daughter to do? What is He preparing them for? I don't know. You see, each of my children is very different. I've got one that hates cold weather. And I have one that hates hot weather. That's why I just gave up trying to live where my children were happy. I tried Mongolia. It's too cold for the one who loves hot weather there. Came from California, it's too hot for the one who likes cold weather here. What is it that God has built into your children's life? He didn't just give them to you as trophies. He gave them to you for a purpose. Fathers, have a vision for what God is doing in your children's lives. Number two, you're not going to be able to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord without the filling of the Holy Spirit. Right here in Ephesians chapter 5, we looked at 6 verse 4, fathers, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 5:18 tells us, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. you will need the filling of the Holy Spirit in order to accomplish God's purposes in your family. Now, it's interesting. It starts there. Be not drunk with wine, for it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then after a short section talking about what being filled with the Holy Spirit looks like, it starts talking about wives submitting to their husbands. It talks about husbands loving their wives. It talks about children obeying their parents. It talks about fathers bringing their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Because each of those family tasks requires the Holy Spirit in our lives. I'm learning on this large building project that we have that it's very helpful to have a structural engineer. The reason it's helpful to have a structural engineer is because the blueprints don't always cover everything. Or maybe while you're building the building, the builders, the framers come and they say, you know, the blueprints call for this particular type of construction, but we don't understand how that's going to work. You know when they say that to me? I don't say, let me tell you how it's done. I don't say that. I say, let's call it. And when Jesse doesn't know, he says, let's call Chad. Because Chad is the structural engineer, and he can give us advice about how the blueprint works. Take that same thought. The Bible is your blueprint. But I'll be frank, I look at my Bible sometimes and I say, I don't understand how that works. Now, you say, you don't? Yeah, I don't. I only got a mind that's so big. It isn't perfect. It doesn't always grasp every concept completely. And so when I don't understand what the scriptures say, guess who I take it to? Jesse. No, I'm just saying. I go to the Holy Spirit and I say, what is this teaching? How do I live this out? And fathers, you're going to need the Holy Spirit. Because your children are going to do foolish things. The Bible tells us foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And there's more than once I had to go to the Holy Spirit and say, I don't know how to deal with this. It's got to be dealt with. Something needs to happen so I can mold this child into the instrument that you want him or her to be. What do I do? And guess what? The Holy Spirit has answers. You need the Holy Spirit in order to raise your children in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. Now let me just teach two things very quickly about the Holy Spirit. Number one, every Christian has the Holy Spirit living inside of them. The Bible says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are where he dwells if you're saved. So you say to me, well, that's very nice, but how do I get the Holy Spirit? Well, the question is, are you a child of God? Because if you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit. Now, how does one become a child of God? Here's the good news. You don't have to give us money. Sometimes I wish I could tell people that. Give us money and we'll make you a child of God. That's not the way it works. You don't have to come to this church a certain number of times. You don't have to be baptized. You don't have to live a good life. It's simple. Faith in Jesus Christ. Because each one of us is a sinner. The Bible says, for all the sinners, come short of the glory of God. And so there's nothing we could do to reach God's expectations of holiness and righteousness. And that's why it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God recognized that we were never going to live up to his standard of righteousness. And so he sent Jesus Christ, his Son, to die in our place. And surely you've heard about Jesus Christ dying on the cross. Why did he do that? To pay the price for sin that we could. The good news is he rose again. 3 days later, he was alive. And he shows his victory. He showed us his victory over sin and over death. And now he offers us that same victory, that forgiveness, that freedom from shame, and eternal life by faith in him. That's what the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting. That's as simple as it is. You can come in this morning not knowing the Holy Spirit, not having the Holy Spirit, and leave today a child of God with the Holy Spirit living inside. Yeah. And that's what we want. I say we, the church. Elmira Baptist Church, that's what we want for everyone listening today. Whether you're here in this room or watching on the live stream, we want you to know that your sins are forgiven, that you have eternal life, that the Holy Spirit lives inside you. But let me remind you about another truth of the Holy Spirit. And fathers, I'm with you right there. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. Here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we sin, when we do things that God says, don't do that, or we don't do things that God said, hey, do this. We grieve the Holy Spirit. I'd like to think of it, this is not a theological explanation, but it helps me to think in word pictures. I like to think of it this way. You have a meeting, you've got a bunch of people around the table, and somebody says, you know, I have a good idea, and you say, shut up. We don't want to hear it. You don't have to say that too many times before that guy with the good ideas, he quits talking. And if he's smart, he goes and he finds another job where they want him to talk. You know, we can treat the Holy Spirit like the Holy Spirit speaks in our hearts. He's, because he lives there, right? I'm talking to Christians now. He lives there. He speaks to us. He said to me, hey, don't say that. I said, I'm going to say what I want to say. He says, okay, here's your chance to show kindness. I'm not going to be kind enough. You know what they did to me? And every time, it's like saying to the Holy Spirit, shut up. I don't need your help. And it grieves him. And he quits talking. Now, notice what I didn't say. I didn't say he leaves. He's still there. He will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. But he doesn't have a whole lot to say. Let me phrase that. He has a lot to say. We don't have a whole lot to hear. We grieve the Holy Spirit. Fathers, if you live constantly in your flesh, grieving the Holy Spirit, you are going to find that fathering is impossible. Your children are going to drive you nuts. And they're not even going to be trying. I was so convinced that one of my children just knew every button to push in my life. And I was right. God gave me that child just to push my buttons. And you know what? Without the Holy Spirit, I would have been irritated and frustrated. But with the Holy Spirit, there's peace. Knowing that God's in charge, and he's given me this child for a reason. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. So if you're not a Christian, this morning, I invite you. Recognize your sinfulness, that you are a sinner. Understand that Jesus Christ died and rose again for you. And by faith, you can have eternal life. You can walk out of here knowing the Holy Spirit lives inside you. And fathers, I encourage you, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Make sure he's active. Listen to him. There's a third thing that you will need if you're going to father, and that is God's grace. Paul, the fellow who wrote half of the New Testament, the one who went from city to city preaching the gospel and seeing people saved and churches started, the one who got killed or nearly killed with rocks and then got up and went right back into that same city, that Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 15, by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul said, I need God's grace. And fathers, again, if you want to raise your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, you need God's grace. Here's the good news. God's given you all the grace that you need to be a successful father, a successful mother, a successful citizen, a successful employee, successful anything. You have all the grace you need. Now, I use that word successful, and then some people sometimes misunderstand. I don't know what the world is going to think about you. But I know this, that a Christian who accesses the grace of God to live the Christian life is going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, when he gets to heaven. And in my mind, that's the definition of success. But fathers, we need God's grace, because again, there's going to be times your children do foolish things and they irritate you. We went to visit a family, a friend of ours, one time. And my daughter took her stickers. I have three of them, so I didn't tell you which one. Took her stickers and put stickers across the whole front of their television. Now, stickers, they do come off, but they leave that little sticky residue. And we spent all this time peeling these stickers off and getting the residue off. And you know, I wanted to be angry. But the Bible says the wrath of man does not fulfill the righteousness of God. And God gives us grace for those moments. God gives us grace for the moments when our children are ill, sick. We take them to the doctor. The doctor says, I don't know what's wrong. Here, take this. We say, wait a minute, I thought you don't know what's wrong. Oh, yeah, but this will make them better. don't know about you, I'm really wary about taking medicine. I don't know what it's supposed to do. And I'm extra wary about putting medicine in my children's bodies when I don't know what it's going to do. You know what? God gives us grace for those moments too, doesn't he? He gives us grace for those moments when our kids disappoint us. They know what we expect. They know what we want. We've given them all kinds of help to get there, and then they do that. What in the world are they thinking? God gives us grace for that. God gives us grace for those moments when our children come to us and they say, "Hey, Dad, I'm really sorry I did that thing you told me not to do." And we can say, "I forgive you. Here, let me help you make it right." We need, as a father, we need God's grace. If you want to raise your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, you're also going to need one more thing. And that's faith. Not just faith in God, that's good, but specifically faith that God will continue to perform his good work in your children until the day it's completed. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." The he there is God, who begins a good work in us, yes, but also in, he uses you, Paul, speaking to the Philippians, and I claim this promise for my own children. God, who began a good work in my children, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I guarantee you that your children will go through desperate times. Now, sometimes they go through desperate times because of the circumstances around them. Maybe God gives them an illness, a chronic illness. We were talking just recently about a college-age student. I was talking with a man recently about a college-age student who got cancer and eventually passed away. Boy, that's hard. But guess what? We can have faith in God's work even in circumstances that we can't control. But also, sometimes your children will go through desperate times because of poor choices that they make. And that's particularly hard. Because I don't know about you, but I want to grab them by the lapel. And I want to say, "Didn't I tell you not to do that? Or didn't I tell you to do this?" I've learned that doesn't work very well with my children. Usually they already know what I said. What they need is they need a father who keeps praying for them. Father who says, "Yep, boy, that's going to hurt. But I'm going to keep praying for you. How can I help you through this?" What we want to say is, "You got yourself in this mess, you get yourself out." But that's not what God's called us to do as parents. We need faith that God's at work, even in their poor choices. And God never tempts us to sin, never causes us to sin. But we serve a God who can take even our sin and make it into something for his honor. And we have to be confident that just like God has worked in my life, to take choices that I've made that have hurt God, the Father. Choices that I've made that have brought me and my family pain. God's taken those choices and worked them into something amazing. If he can do that in my life, guess what? He can do that in my children's lives too. And oftentimes, frankly, we want our children to look good so that we look good. And as a parent, you have to get beyond that. I guarantee you that if you watch my children long enough, you're going to find something to criticize. I guarantee if you watch me long enough, you're going to find something to criticize. My goal is not to raise my children in such a way that they look good to you. And I hope you're not raising your children in such a way that they look good to me. My goal is, again, go back to the vision. God gave me these children for a reason. He gave these children the personality that he wants them to have. He gave these children the talents that he wants them to have. He's even given my children the weaknesses that they have for a reason. And how can I take all this that God's given me, children are an heritage of the Lord, and mold it into something that God can use? And God gives me the Holy Spirit and he gives me his grace, and then I've got to keep working at it. We have to have faith. Sometimes it's easy to give up on our children because they disappoint us. Especially they get to be adults. If you have little kids, I know, because when I had little kids, I thought, you have little kids, you're probably thinking, when I had little kids, I thought, you know, when my kids grow up, it's going to be so much easier. Yeah, that's my dad. You know, when your kids get to be adults, they can do really dangerous things. When they were little, you could just send them to their room. At least they were safe there, right? Well, unless you put knives or something in their room, I guess. But now you can't do that. And they can make some choices that will hurt themselves and the people around them. I point that out because you have to have faith that God can continue to work in their lives even when they make poor choices and they go the wrong way. Keep praying for your children. Keep telling them truth. Now, sometimes they don't want to hear it, and I don't mean make yourself obnoxious, but keep telling them what the truth is because they need to hear it. And they may not be getting it from anyone else. Keep praying for them. Keep telling them what the truth is. Keep living an exemplary life. A life that they can follow and they can say, boy, that's the way my dad and my mom live. Now, I know because my kids have said to me, you know, Mom and Dad, I just can't live that way. So maybe your kids have told you that too. Guess what I'm doing? I'm praying for them. Keep telling them the truth. And I'm going to keep living a life that brings honor and glory to the Lord. Because God is at work in our children, even when we don't see it. Fathers, we are an irreplaceable piece in our families. And oftentimes, I understand that the temptation is to let our wives raise our children, the mothers, right? Or we're going to send our kids to school, and the school will raise our children. In Mongolia, particularly, they would say that. They'd say, I can't wait until my child is 4, and I can send him to kindergarten, and they'll teach my child how to behave. And we'd say, no. God's given you His grace and His Holy Spirit so you can teach your child to behave. Sometimes people bring their kids to church, and they think, boy, church is going to put those kids in line. Well, we want to be a help to you. We're not here to raise your children. The Bible says, fathers, you raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You, Father, you are an irreplaceable part of your family. Let me read to you what a previous president had to say about fathers. He said, yes, we need more police on the streets. Yes, we need fewer guns in the hands of people who shouldn't have them. Yes, we need more money for our schools and more outstanding teachers in the classroom and more after-school programs for our children. Yes, we need more jobs and more job training and more opportunity in our communities, but we also need families to raise our children. We need fathers to realize that responsibility does not end at conception. We need them to realize that what makes you a man is not the ability to have a child, it's the courage to raise one. It's up to us to tell our songs, to tell our sons that we give glory to achievement, to self-respect, and to hard work. Fathers, you are an irreplaceable part. And if you are frustrated this morning in being a father, whether it's because your children are still in the house and they're frustrating you, or maybe your children have grown up and they're frustrating you, let me tell you the 4 things you need. You need a vision for what God's doing, what He wants to do in your children's lives. And you need to pass that vision on to them. You know what? I said to my own kids, you know what? Do you see what God's doing here? Can you see God at work? You need to pass that vision on to them. Number 2, you need the Holy Spirit. Because there are going to be times, there are going to be days, when you say to yourself, what am I going to do? And you're going to go to the Holy Spirit and you're going to say, help. Show me what to do. You need God's grace. Keep persevering. Keep pressing on when things are difficult. And you need faith that God's at work. So let me ask you, fathers, are you committed to your wife and to your children? Do you understand that you are an irreplaceable part? Notice I didn't say the irreplaceable part. There's other irreplaceable parts, but you are an irreplaceable part of your family's life. And do you understand how much you need the support and the accountability of a church? I told a young father recently, I said, you need to be in church. Boy, that's what I needed as a young father. That's what I need as a middle-aged father. That's what I'm going to need as a grandfather. We need that, man. It seems to me that women recognize that readily. I need help. Us men, we don't ask for directions. We don't need help. We can get there without help. And that's our biggest problem, pride. Too often we need to just say, yep, Lord, thank you for providing these men around me to keep me accountable, to encourage me, to pray for me. And then for all of us, as I mentioned, I know this is directed to fathers, but for all of us, are you praying for the fathers in your life? Your own father, if the Lord is gracious enough to have left him with us, but the other fathers that are around you, even if you don't have your own children yet, there are lots of fathers right here at Elmira Baptist Church that you need to, that need you to pray for them. So as we get to this invitation, let me ask you this question. Are you a part of God's family? Do you know that the Holy Spirit is living inside of you? Because if you don't know, as I said earlier, that is the thing we want you to leave with today. To know that your sins are forgiven, Holy Spirit lives inside of you, you have eternal life. Second question. Do you recognize that God has given you the children that he wants you to have, and that he's given you those children for a reason? Fathers, I want you to ask yourself this question. Do I recognize that God has given me the children that he wants me to have, and that he's given them to me for a reason? Because if you don't have a vision for what God wants to do with your children, don't be surprised if they don't have a vision. Finally, are you praying for the fathers around you? Are you praying for the fathers of Elmira Baptist Church? The world is constantly, as I mentioned at the beginning, the world is constantly bombarding us with this idea, we don't need fathers necessarily. And God can do amazing things for families where he's taken the father out prematurely, out of the family prematurely. But fathers are an irreplaceable part. There's a cultural earthquake coming. We want to have families that are like that Transamerica pyramid, and they're ready for the church. The foundation is built on Jesus Christ. And the building is designed to withstand earthquakes. And for that, you're going to need a vision, you're going to need the Holy Spirit, you're going to need God's grace, and you're going to need faith. Father, thank you for bringing so many fathers here today. Lord, we love you. I thank you for the children you've given to me. So many good memories of times with my father. So many good memories of times with my children. Lord, that is a blessing. That is your goodness poured out on me, and I thank you for that. I thank you for giving me children that taught me patience, children that taught me unconditional love, children that taught me faithfulness in prayer, children that taught me joy in little kids and in teenagers. Lord, you gave me just the children I needed to have, and I'm so grateful for that. I ask for the fathers that are here this morning that they would catch a fresh vision, or maybe for the first time catch a new vision, that you've given them their children for a reason. And that their children can be used in amazing ways to bring honor and glory to you. First of all, of course, in making us better men, but secondly, in going out and being the women and the men of God that you want them to be. Help us, fathers, to catch that vision and to know that the Holy Spirit is guiding us, to use your grace every day and to keep the faith that you're at work even when our children struggle. And Lord, we pray that you'd raise up from Elmira Baptist Church young people who will faithfully serve you. Lord, we pray this because we want to see you honored and glorified and exalted in our community. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.